You're listening to Vatican Radio. A 19-year-old Aboriginal student from Brisbane has been named as the inaugural Francis Xavier Conachi Scholar, an initiative providing educational opportunities for young people from Australia's Indigenous communities. Nathan Pitt was announced on Thursday as the first student to be awarded the scholarship, which allows him to study this month at the Rome campus of Australian Catholic University. He's currently studying psychology at ACU's Brisbane campus and plans to pursue a career providing mental health support for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people living in remote rural communities. The scholarship is named after a 19th century Aboriginal student, Francis Xavier Conachi, who was encouraged by a Benedictine abbot in Western Australia to travel to Rome to study in the hope that he could return to work as a monk within his native community. Conachi died in 1853 at the Rome Abbey of St. Paul outside the walls, but his legacy lives on in this new initiative, supported by Australia's Embassy to the Holy See. I spoke with Nathan Pitt to discover how he hopes to take forward this challenging task of empowering Australia's Indigenous communities. Tell me a bit about your family, your background.
Well, yeah, I'm the middle child of three siblings, a girl either side of me, so that's been always lovely. Both my parents have been excellent, definitely a lot of support.
A Catholic family, obviously.
Yes. So far, schooling, Catholic primary and high school education, and then on to ACU to study psychology.
And how did you hear about this scholarship then?
Oh, the director of First Peoples and Equity Pathways for ACU, it was put out to all Indigenous ACU students, so, you know, anyone was available to apply for it. She told me about it and said, you know, it would be an excellent opportunity, and I absolutely agree with that.
So what are you expecting? What are you hoping to discover, perhaps, here in Rome?
I mean, you know, just the sites themselves are probably the most obvious answer that comes to mind. You know, everywhere I look, you know, it was just beautiful buildings and fountains, and just the people as well have been absolutely excellent. In terms of actually studying the subject itself, it brings a lot of Christian values and brings a lot of, you know, parts of the Catholic ethos into a more contemporary sense and not necessarily a religious sense, but it does show how it can be applied to the rest of the world. And to be able to study that in a country, you know, so far away from my own, it is very different, but it gives the perfect example of how that ethos can be brought and displayed, you know, in, as it says, in a global world.
Let's talk a bit about the Catholic Church's record, if you like. It's a bit of a mixed record, isn't it, on ministry to the Aboriginal community. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there were some missionaries who were very respectful of local languages and cultures and traditions, and others, on the other hand, who really sort of collaborated with the government policy towards what's called the Stolen Generations.
Yeah.
What is your understanding of that? What is your own reflection on that?
Well, I mean, as you said, you know, it is a very, very mixed thing there. There were, unfortunately, groups who went through and really kind of just trampled what the Indigenous people had and kind of just, you know, forced their cultures onto them. But there were also a lot of people who they presented themselves in a very positive way. Like the group that actually came with and, you know, was involved with Francis Xavier Conachi's community, he was one who came in and shared his culture as opposed to enforcing it onto them. It was said that he learnt the Indigenous languages and spent many years working with the people there to build a community as opposed to forcing, you know, his own culture and views onto them. So, you know, it is a very sad point in Australia's history that, you know, the negative side of it was, but I think there needs to be a lot more light shed onto the positive aspects and, you know, the groups who were really trying to help build a community that involves both Indigenous Australians and any of the settlers and travellers from around the world who came to Australia.
He was a Benedictine priest, wasn't he, I think,
That's
who
correct.
Was helping
yes.
Conachi and another student come to Rome and train here at the Benedictine monastery at St. Paul's outside the walls. Do you see that being modelled by churches today in their ministries?
There are a lot who really try to give back into their communities. You know, like there's a lot of fundraising and events and all different opportunities that they try to provide to the Indigenous people in their areas. I mean, like there's been a lot of positive work even with celebrations in Australia for things like NAIDOC Week, which is a week-long celebration of Indigenous culture and heritage and all kind of aspects of Indigenous Australian life. And there are church groups who really try and, you know, help out with that in, you know, whatever way they can, whether that be through donations of, you know, things like food and clothing and money, but also just to have a presence at these events, just to show that you don't necessarily have to be giving them all of these things. It can just be providing, you know, like a hand up, not a hand out, basically.
It's more like empowerment, isn't
it,
rather than charity.
Yeah, just really show them that, you know, the church isn't just some other part of a culture that they don't feel they belong to. It can be something that they can really feel a part of and feel involved in.
There are many problems facing the Indigenous communities still today, aren't there, in terms of unemployment, in terms of much higher crime rates, in terms of shorter life expectancy than white Australians.
Yeah, like you said, like there are real serious discrepancies between, you know, other Australians and Indigenous Australians in terms of, I think the most striking one is like the healthcare and the imprisonment for me. Like for myself, I'm studying psychology. So the key part of my studies in the future is going to be for criminal psychology and forensic psychology. Now that for me, I'm not just trying to go in and help people who have already been imprisoned, you know, for whatever the reason may be, but it's really to help to get in early and try to help young Indigenous Australians or young any Australian to try and break that cycle of imprisonment, you know, because there are people who see, you know, members of their family, generations past, going to jail and just growing up thinking that that's what happens, that, you know, adults in their life just go to jail. So I want to be able to go in and help these young Australians really see that there's other options for them. You know, we can give them the tools to be able to build a better society, give them everything that they need to be able to, yeah, to feel empowered, to know that there are other options for them. They don't just have to live the life that someone else has. That's the real key focus for myself. And another facet of psychology really is mental health. Indigenous Australians are, I don't know the exact statistic, but they are very much more likely to experience mental health issues. So being able to provide that direct support for people, you know, not only be able to say, you don't have to go to jail, I can give you the tools to help get whatever job you want, but I can also say to them, you know, if you really are struggling, then I do have the tools myself to be able to help them and assist them, you know, however they may be struggling.
There has been a sea change in attitude, hasn't there, really, since the apology, the government apology to these communities. And yet, I understand there is still something of a prejudice, if you like, a different way of looking at these communities. Do you sense that? And if so, how do you break that taboo, if you like?
Unfortunately, yeah, I do have to agree that there is still that prejudice towards them. Unfortunately, as well, it's one of those things that, like any culture, to break stigmas and to break these negative views, it takes time. There is still that negative view towards them, and I think it comes from, as always, a lack of knowledge. Like, a lot of people don't understand the Indigenous Australian culture, and they may not understand why that these negative views have come about. They only know that those are the views that people hold. So even back when I was in primary school, we would do a lot of work kind of looking at the Indigenous Australian culture and kind of, you know, understanding how they lived and things like that. But then I think that it could come in more as well later on in schooling to help people understand how these negative views came about, you know, that they just don't fit in our modern world.
Do you see that still in your own generation? I mean, you're 19 years old. Do you still see that amongst kids of your age, or is it changing?
I'm very happy to say that I see a lot less of it in people my own age. I think definitely my generation has become a lot more liberal in terms of wanting to bring about equality for all people. So I'm very happy to say that, yeah, that there isn't as much of that, you know, even just the simple things where they might see something on the news and, you know, someone of a previous generation may make a snide remark or something of the sort. But people my own age saying, you know, well, that's not the case. They see that it's painting them in a negative light and they aren't okay with it in a lot of situations, which, I mean, for me is absolutely brilliant to see.
There's been a lot of media, as you say, positive media coverage, a lot of films, a lot of exhibitions, things to really try and highlight really the important heritage and the legacy of these communities on modern-day Australia, hasn't there too?
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to see, you know, a lot more, there's a lot more coverage of traditional Australian culture, but then not only that, but you also see, you know, a lot more Indigenous Australian actors and singers and people just, you know, bringing whatever they love to do to the world. And I think that's a really great point to show, you know, not only is Indigenous culture, it is very important to Australia, you know, they are the traditional owners of the land in Australia. They were the ones who cared for the land and the animals for thousands and thousands of years before any kind of colonial interaction. But yeah, to show that even in the modern day, you know, we recognize the traditional cultural aspects, but then we can, you know, bring these people in the modern day with their, you know, their songs and their art, that they can show that to the world and go, you know, there is no reason for prejudice against these people, as bring something positive to the world, as opposed to, you know, being discriminated against or, you know, held back because of something as simple as the color of their skin.